been to the mountains before? Who's ever been in the mountains? Yeah, been in the woods. Who's ever seen a bear in the mountains? Okay. Who would be deathly afraid if a bear came face to face with them in the mountains or the woods or on the middle of the sidewalk? Whoever.
Me.
Yes, Mike would. Most hands should be raised because I think there are some laws. There are some laws of life. There are some laws of life that say if a man comes face to face with a bear, he's probably going to die. I don't know where that's written, but somewhere in my being, that freaks me out. Now, I used to work in Wyoming for a summer, and we were always watching for bears. We would take people on trail rides, and we'd look around, because when bears are there, they can really harm people. People have bear spray, because they're trying to keep bears away. And you know that, hey, if I want to live, I'm probably not going to go near a bear unless it's in a zoo and behind a cage or something like that. And it's like, if you came in contact with a bear in the woods by yourself, think about that. That's a life or death situation, right? Now, I heard a story of one time there was a guy who, there were two of them, two guys in the woods, and this bear is coming at them. He's starting to come at them, and they're freaking out. And one of them just bends down. And out of his backpack, he pulls out these running shoes. And the other guy's looking at him like, are you kidding me? I thought you were grabbing a gun. Like, I thought you got something like a knife, something you can help us. And he's down here and he's just putting on his shoes, just watching. He's lacing up real quick. The guy's like, seriously? Why do you have running shoes? He said, man, I don't have to outrun that bear. I just got to outrun you. But that's a life or death situation if you're running with a bear. I would say that. We'd all say that. But there's a guy in Alaska named Charlie Vandergaw. Charlie Vandergaw is a guy who lives with bears. A guy who, his life, he spends with them. To him, it's not, hey, I'm either going to live or I'm going to die. But he kind of flirts with death a little bit. Check this out.
The bear is one of nature's most revered predators. Immensely powerful and highly intelligent. An animal that embodies the savagery and danger of the wilderness. And every year, they take human life. Yet deep in the Alaskan interior, there is one man who is trying to prove that man and bear can live alongside each other in harmony. For almost 20 years, Charlie Vandergaw has secretly built a unique relationship with both black and grizzly bears. But last year, he became a media sensation as his story was leaked to the world's press. Now, for the first time, Charlie has allowed his highly controversial and extremely dangerous work to be filmed.
They're such a big, powerful animal. They can break my neck with one slap. Oh!
How do you feel when you're doing that?
Scared.
This film asks what drives Charlie to choose a life in the wilderness and whether he can prove that man can successfully live alongside wild bears.
So I look at that. I look at that and I go, that guy is nuts. That guy's crazy. Because if I'm going to stand with bears, if I'm going to sit with them, there's a shot where the bear is in his house. That's nuts. Because to me, it's a life or a death situation. It's black or it's white. There's either I'm going to live or I'm going to die. I'm not going to just stand there and hug a bear. But this guy says, no, I can do that. I can flirt with death. And I think that's what we do. Every day in our lives, every week in our lives, we know, and I'm going to show you where in Scripture it says this. Jesus says it's life or death. Paul says it's life or death. It's either Christ or it's not Christ. It's either you're going to run to Jesus or you're going to run to death. Life or death. Black and white. We're talking about this series about choices, and we'll get into that a little bit. But I think your choice, ultimately, there are all kinds of choices in that, but it's black and white. It's what God's calling you to or what the world's calling you to. Can we go back to that main side that says choices? I don't know if you can see this, but inside here, you've got a black choices on a white screen, but inside, all around the border, are these decisions that are gray. Black is death, white is life, what God's calling us to, but all these decisions that we're flirting with, that the world's calling us to, what you're going to do with alcohol, with drugs, with your money, what you're going to look at on TV and in movies, how you're going to use your texts with people, how you're going to be jealous towards people, envious towards people, gluttony, eating disorders, authority, all of these things that you choose, whether you're going to live one way, the way Jesus is calling you to, or whether you're going to live another way, all of those are in the gray. Why? Because we flirt with death. We know that those should be black because we see in Scripture that God says that's leading us towards death, but we say, yeah, I know, but gosh, it feels really good. Or gosh, come on, I don't want to get in trouble so I can tell this lie. We know that it's black and white. We know that God says it's life or death. This morning, I want you to open up to Romans 8. We're going to get there in a second. And we're going to see what God has to say, what God's word has to say, what Paul is charging us with. And we'll go there in a second. You can take that off the screen, though. But I look at, what was his name? I look at Charlie Vandergaw, and to me, that's a guy who lives in the gray. And if I look back at my own life, if I look back at this last year, if I look back at the last 25 years, if I'm really honest, there have been definitely times where I've been in the black, where I have sinned, and I've had to come to the Lord, and I've had to submit that before Him and just say, Lord, I am sorry that He took my sin. And He said, that's covered. That's white. You're white as snow. You're good to go. My blood, the crimson stain of my blood, wash that clean. Go. Live in life and purity. And I know that to be true. But yet there are so many days where I flirt with death. There are so many days where I just go, I know it should be this way, but I really want to go this way. There are so many days that I live in the gray. So here's the thing. We've got a white canvas. That's our life. And we know we've got two decisions. We got black on one side, and then we got white on the other. Two decisions. I can't really lower it. It's going to go everywhere. But you know it. It's black and white. It's on the screen. It's on here. There's two options. That's it. There is no other option. But yet, so many times we say, oh, you know what? Surely there's another way. Surely if I, we want to take some of this here and say, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll go this way. Like getting, flirting in there. Kind of like Charlie. Take some of that white and flirt in there. And then we say, oh, this looks so good. Let me grab some of that and bring it over here. Let me do that. We're getting closer to gray. Every time, closer and closer. We want to live in the gray. We want to hold on to our pet sins. We want to live in isolation. We want to be lazy instead of obedient. We want to give in to temptation instead of fighting against it. We want to hate what we see in the mirror, even though God says we're His masterpiece. We want to party because we'd rather be cool than worship Him in obedience. We want to disobey our parents because, man, they don't really know what I'm going through. They don't know me. They don't know what's happening at school. They don't know what kids are saying about me. We want to give into pornography because, man, at least I'm not having sex like other people I know. Come on, what's one look? What's one thing? We want to idolize stuff, celebrities, money, ourselves, even though it fails us. We want to control our circumstances because, man, it's so much harder to trust God than for us to take total control and do it ourselves. We want to choose our own way because it's easier, just because we want to be God. We want to justify. We want to live in the gray. Before that, we had two options. Black and white, life or death. But so many times, we want to live in the gray. But here's the thing, guys. That's messy. When I take what's set out before me, not legalism, but hey, this is life. White, this is the way you should go. That's life. And we flirt there. We want to live in that gray. That's death. But look how messy that is. That doesn't just go away. But that's what we do. That's what I do. That's what I'm so guilty of. And I bet if you're probably honest with yourselves, a white lie, maybe a good lie, that's still, guys, it's a lie. All those things that we do, live in the gray. So go to Romans 8. We're just going to go through it together. I want you to just read it. I want you to listen. We're going to go through those first 21 verses. I don't have points for you, but I want you to just think about your life. I want you to look at what God's calling us to. If something comes to your mind, write it down. If something pops out to you, underline it. This is God's word. These aren't just three things to walk away with. These aren't just three things I want you to think about. This is God's word that Paul is saying, hey, junior high students, hey, Harrison, hey, leaders, what are you going to choose? You're going to choose life or death? Because here's the thing, the little bit of black that I put in there, that's gray, that's death. There's no flirting with it. Another guy that was just like Charles, he died because he hung with bears. He died. A bear mauled him to death. At some point, it leads to death. There is no gray. There's life or there's death. The good news is there's grace. But let's go to Romans 8. Dig in with me. For there is therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you know Jesus, that's it. You're no longer condemned. For the law of the Spirit of life, God, the law of the Spirit of life, he who created life, God, has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God, he sent his Son. He set us free because of Jesus. Because of what he did on the cross, because he rose again. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh, because of our flesh, because we can't get it, because he knows we can't obey it. We can't live in it. We can't just walk in the white. We're always going to run to the black. We're always going to run to death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son, Jesus, his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to look just like you and me, to look like a man, to suffer, to be tempted, to thirst, to hunger, to be tired, to be weary, to struggle with thoughts of fear. He was tempted with that. Now we know that Jesus was with no sin. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he, Jesus, God's Son, condemned sin in the flesh. Perfect man. He was our justifier so we could be justified. Not so that we have to stand here and justify why we want to do this, why we have to do this sin, why we want to go to that sin, why that's okay for us to go for that sin. He is the justifier. He is just, and he justified us in the flesh, just like us. That's hope. We identify ourselves with him. He did all this in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. because he is in us. We are in him. That righteousness that God demands, it's paid for because of Jesus. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who walk not in death, but in life. Now here's where I know that. Here's where he said it's life and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. If you're living like the flesh, absolutely your mind's going to want to lie, cheat, steal, go to the internet. Love those nasty jokes people are saying. If you're living according to the flesh, you're going to set your minds on things of the flesh. Ladies, you're going to hate the way your body looks. You're going to wish so bad you looked like those models on TV. You're going to want to backstab your friends. You're going to want to be catty. You're going to want to go to them, and you're going to want to say all these things out of fear and insecurity. If you live that way, that's the way your mind's going to think. But if you set your mind on things of the Spirit, if you live according to the Spirit, you will set your mind on things of the Spirit. If you live according to what God says, if you just let him, if you surrender yourself and let him live in and through you, you just got to let go of control. If you live according to the flesh, you will set your minds on things of the flesh. Your desires will be God's desires. Those things that you want to get rid of, they will, because you're submitting yourself to the Lord, you will desire him way more than the sin that you desire. You're going to want to strive for life. Because here's that next thing. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. It's death or life. Life or death. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God because it cannot submit to God's laws. If you have your mind set on the flesh, if you're living in sin, not if you're just tempted. Temptation is not a sin, but what you do with it. If you constantly are lying to your parents, if you're sitting in total just fear of what's going on instead of trusting the Lord, you're living hostile to God, which means you're going against God. The mind that does that, it does not submit to God's law. It cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then it goes on. It says, you, however, and this is where it's talking right to us, not just to Romans, not just to Jews or Christians back in Paul's period. You, however, you, hey, church, hey, junior high students in Dallas, hey, Wake Watermark Student Ministries, you guys are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you know Jesus, if you've got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. You say, hold on, wait, but I'm tempted to go that way. So am I. But I'm telling you, choose life. And not choose death. And it's going to show you here in a little bit. You are not bound to that slavery. You're not bound to sin anymore. Choose life. You, however, put your name in there. However that's going to hit you. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If you don't know Jesus, you don't belong to him. You're not his son. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, although sin is in this world and I was born into it, although my body is decaying, although I am tempted to go to all of these things, although I want to go to death and my body is going to death because of the Spirit, there is a life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. God raised Jesus from the dead. Why can't he raise your life? If you identify yourself with him, he will do the same thing because he dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. There it is again. For anyone, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, period. If you run to those things, if you want to medicate yourself with alcohol, If you think this world is too hard, I'm going to go drink myself there. If you're attracted to that party scene, if those drugs are feeling like, oh man, these guys are telling me about pills at school. I don't know. My life's spinning out of control. My parents are divorced. I'm depressed. Maybe this will help. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. I don't know. I hate what I see in the mirror. I know God said that I'm his masterpiece. I know he said that he loves me, but I don't love me. So I'm just gonna not eat. I'm not gonna put that food in my body, so then maybe I'll look like the people the guys want me to look like. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does that mean? If you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and you allow him to live in you instead of that death and decay to live in you, you put to death those deeds by his Spirit, not because you have to stop it, but you just surrender to him, you will live. That's where life is found, in Jesus. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Guys, this isn't just religion. You don't just come here because if we do the right things, we can get to heaven. If we worship in this way, we can get to heaven. It says right there, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, daughters of God. He's our Father. We say that when we pray. We sing that in songs. But he is our Father who loves us, who wants to give you blessings, who asks you, just be obedient to me. He loves you. You don't just have to do these things for no reason. You're in his family. You are sons. And then he goes on to say, for you received the spirit of slavery, not to fall back into sin. You are a bondservant, not so that you're afraid again or that you're back to rules again, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There it is again. We're in his family. And if we're children, then heirs. Heirs. You guys are learning probably in history of kings. And they pass on all of their wealth, all of their stuff, everything they own to their heir, to their son, to their daughter, to their family. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him, in order that we may be glorified with him. What? We got to suffer with him? Jesus died on the cross. He was totally against the world. He said, I'm going to live the way that no one else can, and I'm going to suffer for it. People are going to spit on me. They're going to hate me. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to call me names. They're eventually going to crucify me. And I want you to do the same. Not to go be crucified, not to injure yourself, not to feel like you have to do it, but live for me. John 15, some of the stuff that Todd's been talking about with your parents. It's talking about living not of this world, being so sold out for Christ that you look like you hate the way the world does things. And you may suffer for it. Jesus says, you will. Take heart. There will be trouble in this world because of him. But you're not just suffering for no reason, because the way Christ suffered, we may suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. One day, Jesus is going to stand before the Father with all of his children and say, I know him, I know her, I loved him, he loved me. We will be glorified with Christ as sons and daughters of God. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, in hope that the creation would be set free from the gray, set free from death. You don't have to live this way. Come to life so that you can obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Guys, it's life or death. That's half of Romans 8, and then it just even gets better. So go in there this week and dig through that. But that's it.
life or death, but so many times we want to live in the gray. So many times we want to flirt with death to let bears live in and through us. So how do you do that? Great. I know you're saying this, but every day I'm tempted to go to those things. I don't know how to get out of it. How do I grow? How do I become better? You've got a choice to choose life or choose death. You've got a choice to live the way God's calling you to live. And if you don't know Jesus, there's your first, right there. Surrender yourself to Him. He's calling you. I know He is. It's right there in Scripture. He loves you and He died for you. If you've got questions about that, ask me, ask a leader, ask somebody. But if you know Him, and I would say that's probably most of you in this room, only you know that, only God knows that. What are you supposed to do? I want to call you to life, not to death. So here are some things that I want you to think about this summer. I want you to choose to use your summer wisely. I want to ask you to dig in this summer, to work on yourself so that when we come back to Wake in August, so when you go back to school in August, God can use you in incredible ways. So here's the thing. I want you to run to Jesus, not the world. So many times in the summer, you've got all the time in the world. You've got all the time on your hands. It's easy to get in trouble. Run to Jesus. Not to legalism. Not to doing the things of Christianity. Not to doing the things of that the church is saying. Not to just have a quiet time. Be in relationship with Him. Be intimate with Him. Spend time with Him. Get in His Word. Or just pray. Just listen. Run to Jesus, not the world. The other thing is grow. Don't just be involved. I bet a lot of you guys are going to some awesome camps this summer, going on mission trips, going to these great places, and you're going to be with Christian friends. You're going to be doing all these great things, and that's awesome. I did those things growing up. But what I missed is I just was there. I just got the camp high. I loved it. I loved because of who I was around. I loved because I had all these Christian friends around me, and I'd go home and I'd be on fire. I'd be like, yes, we're doing it. We're going hard. I can't wait this year. I want to share the gospel. I want to tell everybody. But then slowly I'd trickle off. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in this morning. Oh, man, this new video game came out. Gosh, we had a sleepover. I didn't get to it. And then finally, I'm just back to where I was before camp. It's great to be involved in those things. Use those as something to kickstart where you're at. Kickstart where you want to be, not just where you are. Grow in that. The other thing is make a plan. Don't just go into the summer saying, man, I feel like I want to do some more things. Don't just go in and saying, man, okay, maybe I'll just try and read my Bible more. Or I'm going to try and memorize more scripture. I'm going to challenge you to sit down in the next couple of weeks and maybe even ask your leader to help you. And just go, what am I really going to spend my time with this summer? How am I going to choose to live the way Jesus is calling me? How am I going to choose to live life? Because if I don't plan to do that, I know myself. And I'm going to have to choose death. One thing that I'm trying to challenge myself in for this summer is I really want to start journaling. I want to start just writing down what I feel like the Lord is teaching me in my time with Him. Well, I'm going to write down my prayers. I'm going to take time to stop. Not just go through a chapter, not just pray a little bit, but do something different. So what is that going to be for you? Maybe you just want to go through a book of the Bible. Maybe you want to go through a chapter a day. Maybe you don't read the Bible at all. Maybe you can start just reading a proverb every day. Maybe you want to grow in your prayer life. Make a list of things to pray for every day. Pray for the guys in your small group, the girls in your small group. Challenge each other. Read a book that you've wanted to read. Or ask your leader to say, hey, I really want to dive into a book this summer. Can you recommend an author that you love that I can learn from? Challenge yourself. Make a plan. The last thing is use this summer to prepare well for how God can and will use you next August. The temptation, and it's the same temptation I always had, was just to take a break. My summers, I basically just stopped my spiritual life because, if I'm honest, I only was a Christian on the outside because I wanted people to think that I looked more spiritual than I was. And so when I got to summer, I didn't really want to think about it anymore. I missed it. And God had to bring me back and rope me in and say, hey, come home. Don't just do that for yourself or for others. Be with me. Abide with me. I love you. So prepare well. Don't just waste the summer. A couple ways that I think you can do that. First is Wake Unplugged. All summer, every Sunday, we're going to be digging into some awesome issues. Here's a list of some of those issues. Eternal security, life after death, the Bible and God, end times, what's going to happen, creation and dinosaurs, what did God do at the beginning, other religions that your friends at school, maybe that they believe, angels, Satan, demons, God's will, dating, prayer, evangelism. We're going to look at some questions that people tend to have on these topics. And we want to prepare you so that you know the answers to those and so that you can go when someone else has those questions. And then the other is Dallas Experience. We'd love to have you to teach you to serve, to teach you to be the hands and feet, and to love others around us well. So what are you going to choose? Life or death? Those are the two options. Abide with Jesus. I beg you. That's what I'm going to try and choose this summer. Run with me.